بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا عبادي لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون. Under this verse, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes an interesting incident as recorded in the hadith. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi etc. all quoted the same incident in their tafsirs. There were two friends. One pair of good friends, and the other pair that were irreligious, not concerned about deen. So the one person has to die, and he was that pair from the good, he died. When he seen the favors and the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, and the way Allah Ta'ala had honored him, then he was too excited, too delighted and too excited. So he pleads to Allah Ta'ala, "O Allah Ta'ala, I had a friend in this world who wished to encourage me to do the right. He used to tell me this is haram and this is faraz, you need to do this and you need to leave this out of your life. He used to keep me in check all the time. And as a result of his ongoing admonition, his advising, his encouragement, today I am where I am today." So Allah Ta'ala, as he was an encouragement to me, then, O Allah, with your blessings and with your grace, then you keep him upon guidance, keep him righteous, keep him upon guidance, see that he leads a straight life, until he can enjoy the boons and the favors that I am enjoying today. So Allah Ta'ala says to him, don't be concerned about that. Had you only known what I have got for him, then you would have not cried and you would have not grieved. And this person passes away and he joins up with his friend. And then they begin to talk to each other. And one person compliments the other and he says, what a wonderful friend you were. And what an excellent companion you were. And you really, you weren't a sellout. You were a loyal friend. You showed me what was right. You discouraged me from what was wrong. And you led me on to the path of Jannat. Today I'm enjoying what I'm enjoying. So may Allah Ta'ala reward you. So one is complimenting the other. Then from this evil set, one person dies, and then he is confronted with punishment, with fire, difficulties, problems, and all types of misery and disgrace. So in the midst of all that disgrace and all that pain and hurt, he says to Allah Ta'ala, that I had a friend in this world, he would never encourage me to do good, and he would always discourage me from doing good. And further, he would tell me that Qiyamah and Qabr and punishment, etc., is just a far-fetched dream. There's no reality, there's no substance in it. Don't worry about it. Is there something just to keep man on the right? Some people have just created these type of concepts that there is a thing like punishment and there's a thing like Akhirat, there's a thing like Qiyamah. So it's just a dream, it's just an illusion, it's just an imagination. So this was, there was a friend and he used to keep telling me these type of stories. As a result, I bought that story. Then I went into all the type of wrongs, women and drugs and the things that I'm not supposed to be doing, I went and done all what I was not supposed to be doing. And I went deep and deep and deep into it. I couldn't reverse out of this wrong that I was in. But this was as a result of this type of an evil companion that I had. So Allah Ta'ala, it was on account of this person's provocation and his encouragement that I'm here today. So Allah Ta'ala see to it that he also remains upon the same evil path. Don't ever guide him. Don't ever lead him to the right. Don't ever show him the path of Jannah. Show him that way that he can be misguided so that he can be disgraced like I am disgraced. Like, so that he can be in penalty and punishment like how I am under penalty and punishment today. He can never understand the right like I cannot understand the right up to this point. So rather let him rot in that. Let him lead that type of life so that he can join me in that punishment that I am going through today. So Allah Ta'ala accepts this person's dua. Person is going deeper and deeper, he's soaking deeper into misery, into problems and difficulties. Qiyamah is a long, far-fetched dream. Make the best of it in this life. The main thing is this world. Can't do anything in this world, we can't do anything for ourselves. Then, we have all these type of stories. God helps those that help themselves. All these type of stories, making us feel that Qiyamah is a far-fetched dream. Jannah is just an illusion, it's just a dream. Don't worry about it. We'll think about it when we get there. This type of thoughts were playing up in his mind. He died and he joined up with his friend. Now he says to his friend that it was on account of your provocation that I was misled. May Allah Ta'ala curse you. And were there a distance between Bu'ad al-Mashriqeen, a distance between the east and the west, between both of us. So the cash benefit of righteousness and goodness is that you get the blessings and the du'as of Allah Ta'ala, His blessings. Salawatum min Rabbim wa rahmah, special salutations, special mercies, special blessings from Allah Ta'ala. Then you get the du'as, you complemented and supported by the du'as of the malaika. Yastaghfiruna lilladheena amanu rabbana wasi'ta kulla shay. Those malaika making du'a for your pardon. And all the malaika, in fact, even those malaika that are supporting the throne of Allah Ta'ala, they are making du'a. Allah Ta'ala forgive them. The insan, so Allah Ta'ala forgive them. They're trying for the right here and there, they're making mistakes, Allah Ta'ala do forgive them. Allah Ta'ala, apart from forgiving them, admit them, their wives, their children, their fathers, admit them all into Jannah. And Allah Ta'ala further, وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ, Allah Ta'ala protect them against all troubles, problems, this world, the next world, protect them against all these troubles. So Allah Ta'ala is making, He's sending His blessings upon you. The malaika are making dua for you. Then, the living are making dua for the righteous. In every namaz, approximately over 50 times in the day, you're saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Don't we say that? Every namaz you have to say it. Every person that is performing namaz, he's making dua for you. If he doesn't make dua for you, his namaz is incomplete. Allah Ta'ala likes you so much that He made this as though compulsory upon you, that you must make dua for your brother. Thamis Sabrahim says that I lost my mother when I was a child. So sometimes my father had to administer medication. And now my father had to play a dual role, a mother's role and a father's role. And when you're playing a mother's role, then you have to be a little bit more affectionate and overlook some of the nonsense of the child. And father, he just has to open his eyes and everything's done. So now he has to play a double role, administer the medication, so he has to listen to some of the tantrums of the child. So now we would kick up a tantrum that the medication is too sour, too bitter, you can't take it down. So the father would say, alright, take this 20 rands. So I would work it out in my mind, okay, this was the first plan, to give me the 20 rands that I may take this medication. But if I don't accede to this plan, then the stick will come out. So rather, I win this side. Both ways I will win. I'll take the medication and I'll get the 20 rands. Rather than me losing out and then to taking that medication. So Allah Ta'ala, He loves us so much that for your own good, you make dua for yourself and for your brethren. Made compulsory. That you will do it and I will bless you. I want to give you the Jannah. For you to get into the Jannah, you have to do this. But I want to give it to you. You must do it. I want you. So it's like an obligatory favor. A favor and a blessing that is obligatory. Right? Whether you want it or not, I'm going to give it to you. So you need to get there. So Allah Ta'ala is making the route for you. And He made the route obligatory for you. not that he may benefit in any way, but I want you to benefit. But in order for you to benefit, you have to go that way. There's no other way. How can you go? You want to get there. I want you to get there. How will you get there? You're not going to go this path. He says, no, you do it. Whether you like it or not, you must do it. And he's seeing it, ensuring that you get up there. So, you're getting Allah Ta'ala, that he's sending his blessings on you. The malaika that are making dua for you. Then you are getting every person that is performing namaz, every believer that is making namaz for you. Do you see that? Whether it is insan, whether it is jinnat. Even jinnat are making dua for you, imagine. Are you worried now, hey jinnat, I'm troubled by jinnat. Now the jinnat are engaged in making dua for you. Imagine how you have coined, how you have enjoyed the jinnat, where you were troubled and where you were feeling afraid about them. They begin, hey, Allah favor these people. They're making dua for you. So you got insan, you got malaika, you got everybody making dua for you. One single namaz, in that namaz, the whole world is making dua for you. Where you are, somewhere in Springwood Sharif, and everybody's making dua for you. Imagine. How you are accumulating the reward. So you got Allah Ta'ala, then you got the malaika, then you got the mu'min that are making dua for you. Then you got the living making dua for you. And you got the dead also making dua for you. What else do you want? That person that is in his grave now, he's enjoying the boons of Jannat. But what he's making dua for? Allah Ta'ala, that tabligh jamaat, or that mulana, that khanqa, that someone was encouraging me all the time. Allah Ta'ala, bless him like you blessed me. Bless him like how he's been kind to me. He's been guiding me. So the living are making dua for you, the dead are making dua for you. Is there anything greater for piety and righteousness that the living are making dua for you, and even the dead are making dua for you? So can there be a greater loser than that person that doesn't want to go on righteousness? You're getting the malaika, you're getting Allah Pak, you're getting the living, you're getting the dead. Everybody is complimenting, everybody is making dua for you. What a great blessing. And on the other way round, then Allah Ta'ala is cursing. Alayhim la'anatullahi wal malaikati wal nasi ajma'in. That you're getting Allah Ta'ala cursing you. And you're getting the malaika cursing you. Ulaika alayhim la'anatullahi wal malaikati wal nasi ajma'in. Don't you see so many hadiths? Person does this, then even the malaika curse him. Allah Ta'ala curses him. Allah will not look at him. لَا يَنْزُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will not look at him favorably. Allah Ta'ala is cursing, he's not looking at the person favorably. Not in this world, not in the hereafter. The malaika are cursing him. وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then the living are cursing the person. قَاتِلِ الْكَفَرَةَ الَّذِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ وَيُقَاتِلُونَ أَوْلِيَاكَ. اللَّهُمَّ خَالِفْ بَيْنَ كَلِمَتِهِمْ. Don't you see that you are cursing those evil people? And then, not only the living are making dua and cursing you, even the dead are cursing you, that you misled me. Yeah, you were encouraging me to all the wrong. To go to the bioscopes, to go and see cinema, to see the videos, and to take drugs, and to take all this, do all these evils. You were doing all this. You were telling me to do all this porn and all that. And I've been doing it because of your provocation. May Allah Ta'ala curse you. After he's dead, he's cursing you. He's in his grave, but he's cursing you. Is there anything worse? So, do you see how the righteous are being complimented by the living, by the dead, by Allah Ta'ala, by the malaika? Every person, every righteous person is complimenting you, is making dua for you, is wishing well for you. And the evil, and this is how you've been rewarded, this is how you've been recompensed, at every person, from Allah Ta'ala, to the malaika, to the animals, to every person is cursing you, doesn't like you, doesn't... He hates the guts. The day you die, مَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْزَرِينَ. Even the heavens, they say, you are a relief. What a relief. The heavens are saying, what a relief. The earth is saying, what a relief. This person, what he did. What a relief that today is out of my sight, out of sight. The heavens are happy with your going away. The earth is happy with your going away. You think that you are something. You think that you are doing so much. But the heavens are saying, what a relief. Mustarihun aw mustarahun. In the wording of the hadith, mustarihun aw mustarahun. That the heavens are saying also you are a relief. Your going away is a relief. And the other way around, the heavens are crying. This person here, and we are accustomed to his ibadat, going from this passage was going this way. Today, that's been severed and severed permanently. So they're crying over your loss. The heavens are crying. The earth is crying that this spot of land, we used to listen to the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, to the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, to the Quran Sharif we used to listen, and now that recitation has been severed, has been cut off. That Ustuwana Hannana, that thing cried. That it used to hear the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, and when it saw that it has been separated from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, it began to cry until the whole masjid was echoing with its sobbing. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to come down from the mimbar and give it a pat, comfort it like how you comfort a child until its sobbing had died down. Do you see that? What a blessing, what a compliment. That the dead are making dua for you, the living are making dua for you. Things that we feel that are dead, trees, plants, stones, they are making dua for you. Everything is making dua for you. What a compliment, what a blessing. And the other way, everything is cursing you. They hate your guts. And they say, when you are a righteous person, they say, they begin to cry. The earth is crying for you. The heavens are crying for you. The things that were accustomed to your zikr, they are crying. Everybody is feeling the loss. Every person is feeling the loss. You see that? Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he passed away, he had two parrots. And these parrots also, they have a story of their own. Hussein Ahmad Madani Sahib also had some parrot. So, because he was fighting against the English, so time and again he used to be imprisoned. And he used to carry on, and he used to feel that the days of imprisonment are about the most comfortable days of my life. Because when he's amongst people, he has to give a program here, talk to this person, talk to that person. So he doesn't have a time where he's alone with Allah Ta'ala. And now that imprisonment, and he's alone with Allah Ta'ala. No disruption, no interruption. Now he is imprisoned somewhere in South India, and he's living here in Deoband, so approximately 1,500 kilometers away. So somehow the parrot that he had complained to him. So far, but that thing communicated. So Maulana wrote up a letter to his daughter. Okay, this thing is complaining that you're not feeding it properly, not giving it the love and the attention, and that its cage is not so clean like it used to be. So the daughter wrote up a letter. Hazrat, we fix up everything, we're feeding it nice. Baki ye tota bada chugal khor hai. This parrot, it's carrying tails. It's carrying tails. So Mawla wrote up a letter back to his daughter saying, this thing can't speak, right? It can't communicate. It won't come and complain to me. Who will it complain to? You can't take advantage over the thing because it can't communicate now. So it communicated to me through some dream, whatever. It communicated to me. You see, this animals that we have, this pets that we have, Islam doesn't prohibit us from these things. But then when you got it, then you take good care of it. That thing has also got a way to communicate. It will communicate where it's being not looked after, it's being undernourished, then it's going to complain to Allah Ta'ala. So if you can't show it the love and the attention, the respect, then leave it. Give it to someone else. But you showing the love, the respect, the care, it's a different thing. Mawla also had these things. And this Buzurganuddin kept it because of multiple reasons. One reason was that their work was, it was so constraining. So they come home, so they relax a little bit, listen to that thing chirping and all that, and bring some type of relief to them. But that thing became so used to Mawlana. One woman, Fatma B, she came to take bayat. So she took bayat around 9-10 o'clock in the morning, and then she saw another group came to take bayat. Another group of women came to take bayat. And they made wuzu. And this Fatma B also, she saw that the second group is making wuzu and taking bayat. So someone said there in the crowd, Bare Abba, ye Fatma B, phir wuzu karke bayat karne ke liye baith gayi. This Fatma B, she took bayat already in the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock session. Now she took wuzu. And the second group, and she's taking bayat again. Now the third group, they also came in, third group. The second group is finished, now the third group came a third time. And that thing also, that group of women, they started making wuzu, and they came in for bayat. Now, nobody is reporting this incident. The second incident, someone was there, some child reported. The third time, this parrot spoke up. Bari Abba, Bari Abba. Woh Fatima bhi phir wuzu karke bayat karne ke liye baith gaye. So when Maulana passed away, these two parrots that he had, they didn't speak, they didn't eat for 3 days. No speaking, no chirping, nothing. For third day, they both died. What is shocking, what is amazing is how did they understand, how did they discover that Hazrat passed away? So they also have a love, they have a liking for this righteousness, for goodness, they have a liking, they have a bonding for that, they feel good about it. And when there is irreligiousness, then they also feel pain. But what can they do? They are under bonds, they are under constraints, they have to live with their masters. What can they do? Like your worker, right? He's not happy with you, but he doesn't have any other option. He just has to pull along, just has to tag along. But it is your curse that these type of people are cursing you all the time. You are being cursed because of your wrong ways, and because the complement of your staff are not happy with you, they are cursing you all the time. So it's an additional problem. You feel, no, I have got the authority, I can tell them what I want. I can push them around how I want and see how everything is just working out for me. And these people, if you don't shout them, and you don't curse them, and you don't be behind them, they won't deliver. But in the meanwhile, what you're doing is you accumulating their curses. Yeah, this person is doing this to us. Allah Ta'ala, you must fix him. Put him in his place. Put him in his place. Don't give him that happiness. Don't give him that satisfaction. Don't give him that what he's looking for. So they are putting you in your place. And when they're putting you in your place, it's worse, much worse than you trying to put them in their places. You find that our mashayikh, they would say normally, that Allah Ta'ala, we don't want any hurt, but if there's a option of us being an oppressor or an oppressed, we'd rather be the oppressed person. We don't want to be an oppressor. We don't want to be on the other side. Because we know what it can bring up. We know what it can do. We know the destruction it can bring about. So we don't want to be on that side. What we are talking about, this type of company and righteousness and virtue. The Quran Sharif says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. The one that is unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. You know, the essence of all our ibadat is what? Is to get the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, isn't it? What else? It is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Because if you got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, to the extent that you have got the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, you will bring in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. If you don't have the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, can you be an obedient person? You can't be an obedient person. Whether it's in your business, whether it's at home, whether it is in your individual self, you can't be in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala unless and until you have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is the catalyst. You got that, to the extent that you have got that, everything is working right. Your heart is right, your eyes are right, your tongue is right, when you got the consciousness. But you are absent-minded, you're not conscious. Then to the extent that you don't have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, to that extent you are in disobedience. So then the obedience of Allah Ta'ala revolves around the consciousness. So to make an effort to increase this consciousness and awareness is very important. It's not just a casual thing. It's not a thing you do by the way. Rather, you develop this. Now what we are doing, we're reading 101 kitabs. This kitab, that kitab, that kitab. But then, what was the kitab supposed to be doing to you? The kitab was supposed to be taking you to a direction. To create a consciousness, an awareness. An awareness in you. Okay, these are my obligations. These are my farais. This is what I need to do. Now you look at it, when you're looking into a kitab, etc. Is it adding to your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, or is it decreasing your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala? Are you taking more chances now, or you do than before, or now you are very, very apprehensive and careful of what you are doing? If you become more apprehensive, more careful, more cautious of what you are doing, then you are on the cause. Otherwise, you are missing the cause. Now you have a case person is about completing his Maulana course. And they engage him, whether he's complete or he's just about completing, and he's engaged. And engaged also to a woman that is an alima, right? Now, on the side of the girl and the boy, both they say that no, we can't get into a marriage now because we have to complete these kitabs. And if we don't complete these kitabs, then, and we get married, you know, in the process of we studying and we get married, what's going to happen? It's going to delay our whole studying. Our studying is going to be affected. Our studying is going to be affected. Why is it going to be affected? It's going to be affected because we got into a marriage. Marriage got its own obligations, and therefore it will cause a disruption in our studies. So we postpone the marriage. But in the meanwhile, when they are of that age and they have been locked into an engagement, right? Now the way things go, they can't resist each other. So if they're not full into the marriage, then they are doing some things what marriage couples are supposed to be doing. They are in a communication. They are talking to each other. And not only talking to each other, I was talking to one youngster and I asked him to break the relationship. Because there was some problem, resistance, they're saying about 4 years, 5 years, and this man couldn't resist. So just in passing I asked him, "Bhai, you got this communication and you all committed to each other. I want to know from you, are you throwing love kisses over the phone?" So he put his head down, "Well, every day I'm doing it. Every day. And she's doing it to me, I'm doing it." Now, it's not a thing to be amused about, although we feel amused. But it's such a problem that the couple, these two boys and this girl and boy, you can't even call them husband and a wife, they are already living in sin. And over and above, their parents are in sin. Because the parents know that we had to pass that same phase. When we had that phase, we couldn't resist each other. Right? We couldn't resist. We were doing something. Maybe not at the level of still an SMS and whatever else, but we were doing it at some level. But we know that we couldn't resist each other. When we couldn't resist, how do we expect them to resist each other? So are we in sin or not? Are we in guna or not? Are we in haram or not? We are also in haram. Because we are the elders of these children. We know that they can't resist. So aren't we sinful? Aren't we gunegar? We are supporting them in the wrong. What I was speaking about, everybody's curses are on you. The living, the dead, the malaika, people, Allah Ta'ala, everybody's curse is on you. So can you see what you are earning? In the meanwhile, I explained this youngster afterwards. I asked him, this whole process of studies, what is it aimed towards? So I got him unawares, you see. What is it aimed towards? It's aimed towards you becoming Allah conscious. That at each moment of your life, you want to know what Allah wants from you. You don't want to go off the course. That's what it's aimed towards, right? Now, if that's the whole aim, that's the whole objective, you locked up in an engagement, right? When you locked up in an engagement, I want to know, can you resist? So he says, no, I can't resist. So I ask him, then, when you can't resist, then what are you doing presently? So he says, no, what she's doing, now that we are locked up in an engagement, so she's asking me maslas now. So I'm already Mulana now, she's asking maslas. Now, what does she do? What does he do? Because she's already an alima, and she doesn't want to get married because she's in Mishkat. He's an already an alim, more or less, he's an already an alim. So he knows what is haram and halal, right? Now, they need to get to each other, but how do they get to through each other? So they found a line of communication. They couldn't go Vodacom, so they went some other line. Right? They went some other line so that they could enjoy this type of a relationship. So they give a caption of halal, you know. I'll ask some masla, you know, I'm an innocent person, that's masla that I need to know, but you're a Mawlana, so I can ask you, you know. Now, isn't it a ploy of shaitan? I ask you, is it a ploy of shaitan or not? It's genuinely a ploy of shaitan. Because that ilm is telling you, raise the level of your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. And your quest for academic recognition. It's saying, you know, complete this academic recognition. Although it is an Islamic academic recognition, right? But it is academic. When you lying on in the grave, Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask you, "Bhai, you completed Mishkat Sharif," he's not going to ask you. "Bhai, you became Qari Sahib," he's not going to ask you. But generally he's going to ask you, that you, did you live to the level of taqwa or not? Were you conscious about me or not? That he's going to ask you genuinely. Definitely he's going to ask you. But he's not going to ask you whether you did Mishkat Sharif or you did Bukhari Sharif, but he's definitely going to ask you, by, did you perform at the standards of taqwa or not? Were you conscious of Allah Ta'ala? He's going to ask you about that. So we have to ask, we have to answer this person, you're saying, by, there's so many muftis and darul iftas around, so he, you were the only person she, this girl had to find to ask maslas. So no, you know the hadith which says that someone is asked about something and he doesn't answer, you know, that he'll be bridled with the bridle of fire. So that was, mashallah. Only that hadith came to you. Only that hadith came to you. And from all the, only this girl had to ask you. Nobody else had to ask you. See how this shaitan, how it's conniving. And how it plays up with your mind. How it plays up with the mind. Therefore, to have a sheikh to give you some counsel and direction is compulsory today. Today I feel, otherwise this person would have made a mess of himself. He's an alim, right there. This girl is an alima. She's right up there. But you see how shaitan played with the both. And the reason for this type of a play, or this type of a ploy, was because they don't have a guide. The guide must know what is shaitan, what is nafs, and what are the tricks, and what is the strategy of the nafs. The crafting ways, the strategy of the nafs, the shrewdness of the nafs, it must know about it. If he doesn't know about it, then he can't give counsel, he can't give guidance, he can't give instruction. Allah is definitely going to ask you, but you know, you knew that you couldn't resist yourself. Then why didn't you complain to your parents? And on the other end, he's going to ask the parents also, that you got them into an engagement, you knew full well that they couldn't resist. Then why didn't you encourage them to get married? You could have, at your level, you could have instructed them to get into a marriage. I don't want to bear the responsibility. I don't want to bear your responsibility. The hadith says very clearly, when the child becomes mature, hold his hand and tell him, may Allah Ta'ala don't make you a fitna for me. You hold his hand and you tell him that Allah Pak don't make you a fitna for me. A means of my punishment, a means for me getting into a problem. I don't want that to happen to me. But now you are of age, now you need to understand that there are a lot of things that are active in you now. The strength and the stamina is active in you. You're not going to do it the halal way, you're going to do it the haram way. So, no, I must go study and all that. That's an additional thing. That's an additional thing. Where you have to go and specialize and all that. You got the compulsory. Now, at the level of compulsory, are you fulfilling your obligations? At the level of compulsory, are you fulfilling your obligations? You know this is halal, this is haram. But no, I need to go and see this haram. I need to do that haram. But you knew that this was obligatory. Why didn't you practice it? And on the day of Qiyamah, hadith, we listen to this hadith all the time. Tabligh Jamaat will give that hadith all the time. That five questions and you can't move. Amongst those five questions, one question is, how much did you practice on the knowledge that you had? You knew this was haram. And you knew that this was an antidote, this was a solution to this type of feelings. So how much did you practice on the knowledge that you had? You knew that you can't resist. When you can't resist, marriage was a solution. When marriage was a solution, then why didn't you practice it? No, I had to complete this kitab. I had to do this. Will that excuse hold in the presence of Allah? I ask you. The youth is also sinful and their parents are also sinful. Both are sinful. They know that this child can't manage. They know it, that he can't manage. And the youth also, he can't say, my parents are squarely responsible. You are big enough. When you are big enough, then you must fend for yourself. Then there is no obedience to your parents where it's amounting to the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Your father is telling you, go and take an overdraft facility. Abba, with due respect, I can't do it. It's haram. Allah Ta'ala is going to punish me for that. No, I'm telling you, my father, you're disrespecting me. Bhai, I respect you, but I respect you because of Allah Ta'ala. I don't respect Allah Ta'ala because of you. I respect you because of Allah Ta'ala. Not the other way around. You want to claim an authority above Allah Ta'ala? No, I don't want to listen to you. Okay. So this is a very crucial thing. And now that brings us to the point, okay, where it is then compulsory for us to consult. And consulting and taking direction is not just a casual thing. We think it's a casual thing, morning mashwara, tabligh jamaat, making mashwara, finish. They're doing for the whole ummah, they're making fikr. Khalas, it's over our head. So that mashwara is compulsory. And I tell you how unfair are we. How unfair. In every individual check within himself, and I ask you, that are we unfair within ourselves? You got a business-related problem. Won't you contact an accountant? Especially, you know, if I'm going to ask him something about Uplang and all that, he will try and legalize 10 million rand from my 12 million rand, he legalized 10 million. 2 million I have to give a throwaway, I'll throw away, but 10 at least I'll get it. All legal. So will you contact him or not? And more especially if the receiver is sitting over your head, hey, come with him, accountant sir, but you make a plan now. I'll see you right, don't worry. Whatever you ask, I'll see you right. So you think it's a small thing, now, well, how much you'll take? About 100,000 you'll give him, but he'll see you right for 10 million. It's worth the price. So when it comes to finance, then your brains opens up. Money is going, money. Right? So your brains open up. And if it's not money, then it's not funny then. Only if it's money, then it's funny. So then we see the need to consult. We see, and they say, you're a stupid person, you couldn't consult an accountant. What's wrong with you? You're wasting so much of your money. What money grow on the tree, what? Everybody will scold you. At a wali mother will scold you. Every father will scold you, uncle will scold you, everybody will scold you. You know how much of difficulty you get money with. You got no respect for that. So everybody will scold you. People will scold you, your conscience will hurt you. Everybody is against you. Why? Because you didn't consult. Right. You got a health problem. I ask you, don't you contact a specialist? Or you put in the morning mashwara, Hazrat, I got a health problem, what must I do? So one says, no, take Panado, other says, Disciplin, other says, no, take something else, painkiller. So no, the mashwara says, I must do this, I'll do this, finish. Do you do that? I ask you, ask yourself, between you and Allah, do you do that? You don't do that. You say, no. Why? I can see now, left hand is becoming a little bit heavy, chest is becoming heavy, I'm walking, I'm getting a little bit restless, I'm running out of breath, so all symptoms are seeing, all the system is there. Before I get a major crisis, there's a major accident, I need to just go and book myself, specialist, whoever specialist, Dr. Mita, whoever, I need to go to him. Right? Won't you do all that? Why? Ask you, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Because you feel that health is a very, very important thing. You feel that wealth is a very important thing, that you will do all that which requires for you, what needs you to go and secure your wealth. You feel that your health is a very important thing. All those measures that you are required to take to secure your health, you will definitely do it. You will definitely do it. So your health is very important. Your wealth is very important. Then why did your deen become so cheap? Anybody, I mean mashwara, the mashwara said me to do this. Why did your deen become so cheap? Then didn't you look for the same type of credentials when you want to consult? Yeah, you want to look at for the specialist and he's got some reputation. Hey, this person here, and he's got a big list of reputation. So many people went to him, they were all successful that he went. He's very well versed in this. People went, you hardly find any failures there. So you'll go to him. It's a legal issue, you'll go to someone of the law. Don't you do it. You know, hey, otherwise there'll be a sentence of 10 years, or it'll pay through my nose otherwise. So you'll go to someone. But now, why do you take your deen as such a cheap thing that anybody, or two, three people ask, no, I made mashallah, finish. Bye. Will that, you ask yourself, will that hold before Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala will ask you, why for your wealth you went to that extent, for your health you went to that extent, for legal issues you went to that extent, but did you go to that extent for your deen? Then, do you have any answer? Or are you just trying to appease yourself? Therefore, Ali radiallahu anhu had asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I am confronted with a situation. And it's such a new situation, totally new. Right? I don't have any precedent in the Quran, nothing in the Hadith. What do I do? What am I expected to do? No precedent. The Quran Sharif doesn't speak anything about it. The Hadith is silent about it. This is the main source. But the Quran is silent about it. The Hadith is totally silent about it. Then what do I do? In all our important issues, we do consult, right? Business we consult. Proposals we do consult. We're moving from one country to another country, we consult. We're moving from one town to another town. Don't we consult? We consult. 10-20 people will consult. And then we take a step. We don't just make a move like that. We will consult and we will see the feasibility, all that, we'll make all that magajmari, all that headache we will do. And then we take the step. We don't just take a step randomly. So, Ali radiallahu anhu was asking, and a very, very pertinent question he's asking. We are confronted with a situation, but we don't find any guideline in the Quran. Clear guideline. We don't find any guideline in the Hadith. Nothing clear. What do we do? So, Rasulullah SAW explains to him, in that case, what you should be doing, one is the abidin, one is the fuqaha. Not any person, but those that have assigned themselves to ibadat. Abidin, obviously, everybody is making ibadat. Aren't you making ibadat? You're making namaz. But when Nabi SAW is speaking about abidin, what is he talking about? In other words, that's a prominent feature in them. It's not just abidin. Everybody is making ibadat. He's making namaz, so he's abid. But that's a prominent feature in the person. He's assigning himself to ibadat. And fuqaha, that he's got a deep understanding of deen. يَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. A deep understanding of the zahir and the batin. He's got understanding of the bat, of the zahir. That's one aspect of fiqh. And the other aspect of fiqh is the batin. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was asked about fiqh and he said, مَعْرِفَةٌ nafs مَا لَهُ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ. Not just the zahir, but the batin. He's got a deep understanding. So for the depth of the understanding, there'll be some people that are specialized in that. Everybody's not in the position. He's in a position of doing something, but that doesn't mean that he's in a position of doing everything. Yes, he specialized for something. He specialized how to give a talk. He specialized how to invite someone, right? That he's what he specialized. We will not say that he's a failure in other respects, but he didn't specialize in that regards. So who will you consult then? So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is directing us, Ali radiallahu anhu, al-abideen al-fuqaha. Those that have assigned themselves to ibadat and those that have got a deep understanding. Now you look at it, just turn the thing around. Why did Nabi Sallam had to say him that abideen and fuqaha? Why not just fuqaha or why not just abideen? Because if it was just abideen, right, then he doesn't have an understanding. He may be intending good, but he doesn't have the depth of understanding. He has a sight, but the sight is limited, the vision is not so profound. So, though he intends good, right, but he doesn't have that vision, he doesn't have that sight. So he'll be misleading you. Like I said, here, this incident of this alim, right, and he is in a quandary now, that this girl, that is the wife-to-be, she's consulting with him. And now he's got that hadith before him, you know, you are asked about deen, and you don't answer, then you bridled with the bridle of fire. So what must he do? So the bright thing that he did, the right thing was, he came and consulted, he came and asked. Okay, so this is what I'm afraid about. So on the one end, you need the person to be assigning himself to ibadat, right? So he's got the degree of sincerity. There's no personal interest, right? In this type of things, if you're going to have a personal interest, right, what's going to happen? Then there's a clash of interest, my interest against his interest. So I will not direct you, because if I'm going to direct you to something, then it is opposing my own interest. Right? It's my supplier. I will not reveal the identity of my supplier to you, because it's a clash of interest. You can even ask me what I am doing. I'm doing this business now. I'm doing what? Cement, for example. So what is a good supplier? I know this man just next to me now. I give him the details of my supplier. So, phir, mar gaya phir, kya karunga? What will I do then? I can't give him all the details of my supply. So, I said, no, buy from Portland cement. They give you good cement there. So, it's misleading, isn't it? Misleading. I know it's right, but I can't tell you. Because I am afraid of my own business. So, you consulting with the wrong person, he's got a self-interest in this. So, when he's got a self-interest, he's not sincere. He's got hell, doesn't have any class. When he's got a self-interest, then he's not the person that you're going to refer to. Because he's not going to be giving you the exact details. So he's not absolutely sincere. You can't ask him. Al-Mu'ad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I'm showing about self-interest, you know. And you think Islam doesn't know about these things. What? We read all this English literature and we think at times that intelligence and brains is in English. Nauzubillah, there's no intelligence. When I read some of the books, I read the articles here about people, from people. But it's not intelligent. They take you backwards. Really, they take you backwards. They really, really mesmerize you. And they capsize your right thinking. Your whole thinking now goes on an opposite direction. You begin to think right to be wrong and wrong to be right. And this person comes up to the Mawlana Tamimi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He's Mawlana's neighbor. At a time that Mawlana is desperately in need of a home. And right in his neighborhood. Now this man comes to Mawlana and says, you know what, Hazrat, I've already graduated, I'm a professional person. I've secured a good job in Delhi. Because Tanabon is a village, a small farm town, right? You can't get a professional job here. Like you're a specialist now, you specialize in heart. You want to get a job here. You have to go to a central place, there you'll get a good job. So I've already secured my job there, and I'm going to sell up and I'm going to move out. So if it was one of us, just think for that moment, what would the response be? Our response would be 9 out of 10. You know, I didn't even ask anybody. I didn't even beg anybody. Allah Pak's mother just came to me on my lap, you see. See, I'm doing Allah Pak's work. So Allah Pak just guided me straight. That would have been our response. Right? It's a personal interest. So you guide him according to your personal interest. So Mawlana's answer to him was no. I need the place. Definitely I need the place. And I need the place exactly where you are, the spot that you are. But no, I don't advise you to sell up. Because you are selling it as wrong. For me, I can, in one installment, I can buy it out. I'm not going to do that. Because a person goes out to work, he's venturing for a job, right? He gets a job. And after a year or something, he feels uncomfortable with the job. He wants to come back. Now he's sold up here at home, and he's not there in his workplace. So where is he? He's in mid-air now. He's in the lurch now. He's not this side, he's not that side. Where must he come back? He'll say, no. Until 10, 15, 20 years, you are settled in a job, you got another one, two homes you got, and you really settled and established, now you want to sell up. So in the case where you leave on job, you still got a sanctuary. Now you don't have a sanctuary. You're not here, you're not there. See, now you don't have a personal interest. See, when you're asking and you're questioning, then you need to have a person that is absolutely sincere. He's not clashing with his personal interest. But by the same token, that person must also be sincere. One is educated, one is sincere. But education is not an assurance of sincerity. You're educated, but education, is it coming with an assurance, with a guarantee of the person being sincere, absolutely sincere? He knows about things. He understands things well. But is that coming with a guarantee of being absolutely sincere? So on the one side, he must be absolutely sincere. Then he must be having a very strong understanding of deen. Now, one is complimenting the other. Now, it's a complete person. You go up to him, inshallah, you're not going to have any regrets. No regrets. Because he's like a full house. He's complete. He's comprehensive, right? He's giving you, and he's giving you solid information. Therefore, the hadith says, Al-Adabul Mufrad, Imam Bukhari Sabrahma says, when a person is confronted with a situation, and he consults, and I gave you more or less the type of person that you need to consult with. In everything, then there is a person that Allah Ta'ala has kept. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. We have raised one person above the other. In worldly matters, in your livelihood, one is above the other. Right? You are a businessman, but you need an accountant. An accountant needs to see a doctor. A doctor needs to see an optician. An optician needs to see a dentist. Don't you see that happening? It's happening all the time. You see it happening. Nobody's full house. Allah Pak has kept this dependency. So by the same token, in your deen you are dependent. Right? In the matters of your personal life, connecting to your personal self, you are dependent. So what should be the description of the person that you're going to consult with? One person comes, complains to the Mawlana Tamimi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that my child is not performing namaz. So Mawlana had a word with him, and he comes up to the person, but don't feel offended, but you're talking about your child not performing namaz, he doesn't even believe in Allah Pak. So now he got a shock. Because now the man is reading namaz now, Jummah namaz or something, just to show. But he doesn't believe in Allah. He's telling, you know, I don't believe in all these things here. Why are they asking me to perform namaz? So he told the father, see, I will advise you something, provided you don't come and cross-question me and cross-examine me why I'm doing this. I'll do it. You like it, you accept it. But you don't come and cross-question me why I suggested this. He spoke to the boy, and then he says to the father, you see what you do? You pull him out from the English school. Like, you know how you have an English school, and you have an Islamic school. So you pull him out from the Islamic school, and you bring him into the English medium school. I'm talking in our language, right? You pull him out from the Islamic school, and send him to the government school. Like how we got an English medium private school, Harvard College, I'm sending him there. So Muad already made a precondition with him that you don't come and cross-examine me. Don't ask me why I'm saying this. Anyway, he pulled him up from the Islamic school, brought him to an English medium private school, whatever. Not even 2 months passed that this child became a 5-time namazi. Now he wants to know, Hazrat, what's the mystery behind this whole thing? So the mystery behind this whole thing was, this child was in Islamic school. He became immune to Islam. So there was no challenge for him. There was no challenge for this child. Now, when we pulled him up from the Islamic school, brought him into an English kafir school, then everybody began to speak out against Islam, right? So whatever it is, but his lineage is in Islam, right? His father, grandfather, everybody is in Islam. So if they're running down Islam, they're running down his own family. So he had to come in the defense of his own family. So there was a challenge for this child. Say, oh, what are you doing namaz and what are you doing qurban and all that? So now, this was a challenge, and challenge against his own integrity. Because his old ancestry is in Islam. So there's a challenge against his ancestry. He's going to the Imam Sahib or something. What about namaz? We read namaz and why we do this? And why do we do this? Now he got all the answers, satisfactory answers, right? When he got those answers now, he became confident of his own Islam. He became confident of himself. You see the beauty and the importance of consulting. So Nabi Sam is telling Ali radiallahu anhu that, oh Ali radiallahu anhu, that you consult with that person who's got a sound, in-depth knowledge of an understanding of deen, number one, who's assigned himself to ibadat, and don't you ever take an independent decision. Something came in your mind, just randomly you just said, did something, you don't do that. This class of people, when you find, you go and consult with them, and then don't you take an independent decision in these matters. See the importance. Al-fuqaha al-abideen. Therefore, this matter is so important, this consulting is so important, you know. Hadith says that when your leaders are a good class of people, understanding, wealthy are generous, they are kind, they are generous, good people, and your affairs are concluded with consultation, then the surface of the earth is better for you to live than the inner of the earth. Allah Tawfiq Nasib.